this rover.
A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. It's the only nut that you'll ever need, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
Crossed over, huh. If I never have a
I believe that is a reference to marijuana. Or pot or grass.
My dad always called it that.
Ganja. What?
Grass.
Ganja's only in Jamaica. Hmm. See? Your dad called it what?
Grass. That was what it was like weed was, growing up. It was always grass.
People call it bud. They call it herb.
Yeah, bud.
Well, it looks like somebody's done a little research on it, or maybe a little experimentation with it. Isn't that special?
Good afternoon, everybody. We're thrilled to death that you're with us. And I'm not kidding. That's not an exaggeration. We're thrilled that you're with us. Well, I'm going to have a guest here in a couple of minutes. Dan's going to call this person up, and I want you to pay real close attention to what he has to say about one of our advertisers. But before we do that, let me welcome all of you officially to the show on this 16th of October, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
You know what? I wrote that down yesterday, and I misplaced it. I had it written on 3rd of June.
You have it? You want me to write it down for you?
No, I'll do it right now. Hang on. 3rd of June. Got it. The last time I'll make that mistake. So, we'll just get our guest on now.
Sure.
Can we do that? You want to call him?
Yeah.
Dan will let me know. I have a screen, and he can, rather than yell through the glass, he can just tell me when this guy is on the phone. I got this terrific email from a listener, longtime listener, loyal listener, who has now been to Brenton Vision, Dr. Jason Brenton, and I'm going to set this up before he gets on the phone so I don't have to make him hold while I do all this. And some of this is going to be recap, because the truth is Brenton is a new, not relatively new, but a new advertiser, and I don't know how much all of you have been able to hear about this guy, Dr. Jason Brenton, who is an incredible ophthalmologist, Harvard-trained genius. So let me real quickly recap, and you'll understand why Gary, who is the listener's name, is so ecstatic. I explained that 6 years ago I went to Overland Park, Kansas, because that's where Dr. Brenton's office was 6 years ago, and it happened as a result of a phone call that I got from a friend. She and her husband used to live in St. Louis. Now they live in Overland Park, Kansas, and this is 6 years ago now. And the reason I have to stress that is I've gotten several emails from people going, well, this sounds great. I don't mind driving to Overland Park. No, you don't have to. He's here now. Dr. Brenton is here in Creve Coeur. So Susan calls me, and Susan is was a friend of my wife's, and I met them because she and my wife played tennis together. And she had always talked about how difficult it was for her to wear contact lenses. And she didn't like to wear glasses because she was a tennis player and the contacts always hurt and her eyes always bothered her. And she'd always wished that there had been another way. And so she finds this Dr. Brenton in Overland Park and she calls me and she says, hey, I just went to this guy and you won't believe what he did. And I said, what did he do? She said, he replaced the lenses in my eyes. And I said, do you have cataracts? You're not old enough for cataracts. She said, no. No, he replaced them anyway. She says, it is, I can't even explain to you how incredible it is. She says, you need to look at it. So I read a couple of articles she sent me and I made an appointment. I drove to Overland Park and they did all the pre-op stuff and tested and he said, I can replace your lenses. Now, as much as I knew about eyes, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really know that you could pull out the God-given natural lenses and replace them with man-made lenses. I'm not talking about lenses like contacts to go over your eye. I'm talking about under the cornea. And he did it. And when he did the first eye, by that night, I couldn't wait to get the second eye done. I had no idea this was possible. My vision was not only clear, and I knew it would get clearer, because right after the procedure, there's a little bit of recovery and healing time. Not much. And by the next day, and certainly the second day,
It was incredible. I'd never seen colors so brilliant or white so white, and my vision, acuity was in. I couldn't wait to go back. And then drove back because he did them separately and had the second eye done, and that was 6 years ago. So I get this great email from Gary. Gary, are you on the phone?
Gary, are you there?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, folks, Gary sends me an email, and if I'd been a really good radio guy, I would have it in front of me so I could read it to you. Hang on a second. Let me, Gary, I'm going to pull up the email that you sent me. Give me just a second. And it says, I run my own business and I've been told that I'm not a candidate for LASIK or for anything. I was wearing number 4 readers to see and number 5 to read or look at a computer. Dr. Brenton said I was a candidate for lens replacement, the same as you. I am elated. It changed my life. And he says, one thing on the commercial you didn't say is that it's tax deductible. And you say, if you want a testimonial, basically, to call, you said, just call you, and I will tell people how great this is. So that's what I've done, Gary. I'm calling you. And what I guess I need for you to help me explain to people is that when I make a statement like, it changed my life, I need for you to tell them that's not an exaggeration.
No, it is not. It's hard to explain, like you said. I was born with a lazy eye, my right eye, and they've always told me there was nothing they could do for it.
That's called amblyopia. I'm practically a doctor. That's amblyopia. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Explained it to me.
Thank you so much. Go ahead. Sorry.
But it's amazing. I couldn't get up and get out of bed without grabbing my glasses. I couldn't see. And in the last year, my vision had really went downhill quite a bit. And like I say, it's amazing. And Dr. Brentman's the one that told me that it was tax deductible.
And I should have mentioned that. And coming out of the shoot with a brand new advertiser, I make an effort to try to cram as much as I can in every commercial, and it takes a while to cover everything. But that's something I actually should have mentioned, because while it's not covered by insurance in most cases, there are some exceptions, but let's just say it's not. It is tax deductible, and I did forget to mention that. So you are, I think I need to maybe spend a little more time explaining to people that what Dr. Brenton and his staff there do so well is, yes, LASIK and lots of it and all the other alternatives to LASIK. Those are corneal surgeries. But he also does a lot of lens replacement. Essentially, lens replacement is what happens when somebody has cataracts. When you have cataracts, your lenses, your natural God-given lenses, become clouded. And they get more cloudy and more cloudy. And the insurance won't step in until you're bumping into the walls. You can't see anything. You can't drive. Then they'll go, okay, if they're that bad, then yeah, we'll help you out here. You and I both took the option of not waiting till then, but not only getting lenses replaced, but getting lenses put in that had prescriptions in them. So essentially, you and I are wearing contact lenses under our corneas that are there for the rest of our lives. That's the simplest way to put it. And you had lenses there anyway that you were given at birth, but they're not meant to last forever. So I am so glad that you went, and I'm so glad you emailed me, and congratulations on joining the Good Vision Club, because, look, sometimes I think, because I hear so many people on the radio who are full of crap and BS, and they do exaggerate, and they'll say things like, best in the world. Well, they haven't been all over the world. And when I say it changed my life, you're hearing this from a guy who not only, when I did it, was I glad to drive to Overland Park, Kansas. I would have gone to Japan if I had to, if I had known the results would be like this. And now, luckily for people listening, you only have to go to North New Ballas Road in Creve Coeur, and there is the beautiful Brenton Vision. And Gary, would you try to help me explain to people how, when you walk in there, it is not like any doctor's office you've ever been in?
Oh, it's awesome. They got a big glass thing with waterfall coming down it. And the people there, oh my God, they're so nice. I mean, everybody, there must be 20 or 30 people who work there. The place is gigantic, and every one of them was the nicest person you could ever think about meeting. And it's everybody, oh man, and they give you a little menu when you come in. Do you want a soda or, you know,
Yeah, they'll get your lunch if you want it. I mean, it's sort of like, I had a lady that I heard from just 3 days ago, and she said, I thought I was in a spa or something. And
it don't feel like a doctor's office, that's for sure.
No, and not in the way it's decorated, not in the way they treat you, nothing. And whatever fear factor you might have, and there are a lot of people who are real scared of anything to do with their eyes. If you mention somebody touching your eye, they can't stand the thought of it. Were you in any pain at any time?
I didn't feel anything. In fact,
no.
The first eye, they were talking to me and stuff, and he says, well, we're about 70% through, and I'm thinking, holy cow, I didn't even know they started. like you said, it was like 15 minutes at the most.
No, it's a 15-minute procedure. He did 1,600 surgeries last year because when something only takes 10 to 15 minutes, the other people do all the prep work and get everything in place and all the equipment. He walks in, does his magic, and that's it. How soon after you had the first eye, how soon did you realize, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable? How long did it take?
It cleared up pretty fast, Right after it, is a little cloudy and your eyes so dilated you can't see good anyway,
Right.
But the next day, holy cow. Well, that night, I knew.
No.
It was like I told my girl, I said, holy cow, I'm ready to get the other one done. But they recommend 2 weeks in between each eye.
That was the longest 2 weeks of my life, because when you realize what's happened with the first eye, it's like a kid waiting for Christmas. It's like it's never going to get here. I could not wait to go back and get the second one done because of two reasons. One, you know what the results are. And two, now that you know it doesn't hurt, it's no big deal. Now you really want to get it done. And look, it's normal to be apprehensive going in. It's your eye, and they're working on your eye. But, folks, you don't feel anything. The results are incredible.
I'm one person that could not stand anybody sticking or anything. I couldn't wear contacts just because I was afraid to put them in my eyes. I didn't even try them.
Yeah. Well,
there's no pain at all.
Congratulations on your vision, and thank you for going to Brenton, and I'm sure you let them know you're AM to PM. I got a feeling you made sure they knew that.
Oh, yeah, they know.
All right, Gary, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, AM and the PM.
I know that. Thank you. All right. There goes Gary. I'm going to mention, I don't like to mention last names because, I don't know. There are a lot of kooks in the world, and, but he's a real person and a longtime listener. And when I read his email, I thought, holy cow, he just described exactly the way I felt. So we'll wrap it up this way, folks. LASIK, yes. The six other alternatives to LASIK, which are all cornea surgeries. He's the only guy that I know of in town who does all of them. He is brilliant. I think he's 41 or 42. He looks like he's 18, but he has the wisdom and the skill and the knowledge that I would think it would take somebody 40 years just to acquire. He is incredible. And here's the other thing. He is not an assembly line doctor. There is an ophthalmologist in St. Louis, and if I mentioned his name, you'd know who he was, and he advertises a lot, and he's got a big practice. And the last time I was in his office, which was, 3 or 4 years ago for another matter, not the lens replacement, because I had that done, the last thing I said to him, and he's a big deal, and he's a smart guy, and I'm sure a good ophthalmologist, but he is an assembly line doctor. And the last thing I said to him was, I said, take a look at your waiting room. I waited an hour. These people will wait at least an hour, and it's packed. You will never see me here again, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't like to go to a doctor who I feel is trying to break some Guinness record to see how many patients he could possibly see in a day. Get him in, get him out. Get him in, get him out. I'll never be back. And I've never been back, and I've never seen him again. Jason Brenton has my complete trust, and I'm also reluctant to go on the air and promote anything that's sort of medical, because unless I know the doctor, because I think it's risky, and if somebody has a bad experience or something goes wrong, I feel like it might be kind of on me, even though all the choices we make are our own and you don't have to go anywhere we talk about. But Dr. Brenton is the guy who, if you are not a candidate, he will absolutely tell you, I am sorry, but after taking a look, and what a look they take at everything about your eye from every angle, inside, outside, and none of that hurts either, by the way. It's like taking a picture of your eye. He'll tell you. No, not a good thing. Now, what he told my wife, went in because she would like to get LASIK, because just now, for the first time in her life, she's starting to become a little bit hyperopic, which is farsighted. And he said, I don't want to do LASIK on you because I don't think your eyes are bad enough yet. He said, let's wait. And if they get the vision, it's a little worse. He said, it's so easily corrected now with just a small prescription and glasses, and the fact that without them, she could drive home without any problem. So she could even pass the driver's test without them. So he said, let's wait. I prefer to wait. And I thought, wow, you know, he just turned down a payment that we'd have had to make for a surgery that he'd rather not perform. So he is not the guy. And believe me, there are plenty of them who will do it even if there's risk and you're not a good candidate. So here's what you need to know. Brenton Vision, B-R-I-N-T-O-N, vision.com, 314-375-2020. Make an appointment. Please do this 90-minute analysis that is beyond belief, the space-age type equipment that tells them everything. It'll cost you $120. How much is it worth to you to have somebody tell you everything you need to know about the state of your eyes and the health of your eyes? I think it's certainly worth $120. So there you have it. Dr. Jason Brenton, 555 North New Ballast Road in Creve Coeur. And again, it's 314-375-2020 or BrentonVision.com. And now that we've welcomed everybody and we've heard Gary's testimonial, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right, this may. Tim, before you even speak, as a guy who knows as little about sports as pretty much any man who doesn't know anything about sports, what in the world happened with the car? Were they that bad, or were the Nationals that good, or is it somewhere in the middle?
You know, it's an excellent question. It was such a futile performance to watch a team night after night after night after night not be able to hit the ball, and they swung at so many pitches out of the strike zone. They ended up.
And you know, I watched a little of the game last night. Honest goodness, that's the first thing my wife and I noticed. I go, holy, it was in the dirt, and he swung at it. What the heck?
They just had no discipline. They just lost their minds. I mean, 48 strikeouts and 15 hits. They had one home run in the whole series and 48 strikeouts. Those Nationals pitchers are good pitchers. I mean, those three pitchers that beat us the last three games, they combined made $57.5 million this year. I mean, those are top-notch, big-time pitchers. But they're all hittable, and the Cardinals had beaten all of them previously this year.
Yeah.
And other times in their careers, they just had a meltdown. I've really never experienced anything like it, to have a meltdown of that proportion. It's one thing to lose in dramatic fashion, or, you know, have somebody have a big rally late. You know, a couple of times that happened in the Atlanta series. But to just completely get outplayed and make bonehead errors in the field and swing and miss at everything from top of the lineup on down, I've never seen anything like it.
I haven't either.
I do believe when people say, well, the Nationals really wanted it. They've never made it to the real. Okay, fine. I get that. But on the other side, you have experience making it this far along, as opposed to inexperience. So you could also you would have understood it if the Nationals had lost 40, where you go, well, you know, they choked because they just weren't, well, they were so keyed up and they weren't. None of it justifies what happened.
Every team wants it, but.
Of course they do.
The other night, I looked at Sandy and I said, look at the Cardinals.
Now, who's Sandy?
Sandy's my girlfriend. And I said, and they looked so uninterested and so lackluster and just kind of there. Their faces were not, nobody looked like they were into the game.
No, and they also didn't look like, when they did do some bonehead thing like, oh, he swung at one that went in the dirt, they didn't even look like they were disgusted with themselves. Like, normally you see a guy go, oh, blank, blankety, blank. Nah, and just kind of toss the bat away and next batter.
It was, like Tim said, it was the strangest. I've never witnessed anything like that from batter number one all the way to number nine. They all looked like crap. I mean, they were swinging it at stuff that was in the dirt, out of the strike zone. It was mind-boggling. It was so weird. It was like the Twilight Zone.
I just have... I'm glad, actually, that they got beaten up the way that they did instead of having heartbreaking losses. Like, for example, when the Blues lost the other day, Dan... They had 2-0 lead with 6 minutes to go.
Yes.
They blow it, and then they lose in overtime. I mean, you just have your heart just ripped from you. But when you see a team score 7 runs against you in the first inning, I felt like the Braves fans must have felt in Game 5 when we scored 10 on them in the first inning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just quit watching it. It's just like, this is destined to not happen, and I'm not even going to bother myself with the misery.
The good news is, Tim, the Cardinals at least gave you a reason to get further along with the Banshee series. So,
they did, and that's what I did.
Get closer to the end of the fourth season.
I was watching Banshee in the second and the first inning last night. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, what was your Burke segment? I sidetracked you there with the Cardinals thing.
I want to start this off by saying that I went to St. Mary's High School, and what I'm about to tell you involves a team that beat St. Mary's in football this year. But this story that I had in the news, I don't think I've ever quite seen anything like it in my history of being a sports fan, college or high school. It certainly would never happen in the pros. But St. Louis has a high school football team, Cardinal Ritter. This is a Catholic archdiocesan high school in downtown St. Louis. It's right down the street from the Cathedral Basilica. This team is 7-0 in football this year, okay? And and they're the number one ranked small school in the St. Louis area. And in fact, according to a national website, they're the number one ranked small school in the entire country. School is determined by school population, and there's a multiplier if you're an all boys or an all girls school, but they're considered a small school. They have a running back on this team by the name of Bill Jackson. This kid is a junior, which maybe makes him 17, but probably 16. I guess there's a chance he could be 18. Who knows? But I don't know how old he is. But he's a junior. I do know that. Well, last year in their championship football game, he got in a fight on the field wearing number 4, which is his uniform number. And under Missouri State High School rules, he was suspended for the first game of this season, which would be their next game. So he was suspended for the first game of the season. Well, their first game of the season was in Chicago against the team up in Chicago, and they beat them. And there was a player on the field who wore number 24 and who wore the last name of a freshman at the school on his jersey, play and start at running back, and starred in this game. And he wore number 24 with a name that was not Jackson on his back.
Okay.
Now, they are 7-0. And now today the school announced it's launched an investigation, as has the state of Missouri. And this is the lead story on the Post-Dispatch website. And they've got side-by-side photos showing this same player wearing number 4 in games 2-7 this season. And do you know how they know it's the same guy? He has a sleeve of tattoos down his entire right arm.
I'm looking at it right
that,
now.
That identify him. And this guy, so this head coach of this Catholic high school decides to cheat and play an ineligible player by having him wear a different player's jersey with a different name on his back and go all the way up to Chicago and play in this game. But he was too stupid to not put a sleeve on the kid's arm to hide the tattoo.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the stupidest thing I think I've ever seen in my history of being a sports fan. At least
another good argument for why you might want to reconsider getting a full arm tattoo.
Well,
it'll keep you from being able to cheat one day down the road.
If you look at Cardinal Ritter, I mean, I was laughing out loud in the break room before we came in because I looked on Cardinal Ritter's website. I mean, they have like this code of conduct. and a dress code, and they have all this religious based, you know, information about, you know, the quality of life and the code of conduct and discipline.
Yeah,
and
but honesty, you didn't read anything in there about not cheating about with players. It's not in there.
This coach, they have a football coach named Brandon Gregory. I'd love to hear what this guy is. Well, I didn't know that was him. I thought that was our freshman. I mean, what's he going to say? What could he possibly say? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, then when one of my sons played, I don't know, Pee Wee, Little League, what a real young baseball. And they used to pull that stuff on a local level. Just, I mean, this wasn't even school baseball. This was like, five and six and seven. Yeah, little kids playing ball. And every once in a while, you'd find out that a kid, where's Jimmy? Well, they found out he's an eighth grader. And they put a ringer in there. Some kid who's shouldn't really be there. Even and parents did it knowingly. So the cheating starts sometimes higher up with the parents, and it's not exactly the greatest lesson for the kids. Don't worry, son, I'll get you in there. I know you're too old, but that'll mean you can just kick the other kids' butts because you're older. Yeah, it starts early.
Well,
I
don't have a tattoo on my body. I didn't know what the tattoo laws were.
We're not going to ask you to prove it.
Yeah. I didn't know what the I had to look up what the tattoo laws were in Missouri, and you have to be 18 to get a tattoo in Missouri unless you have parental consent, and I think the parent has to be in the tattoo parlor with you while you're getting it.
So you're telling me that when I see these 16-year-old girls and the one whole leg and their neck is tattooed, their parents were okay with that?
Or their guardian. They have to sign a document, and I believe in some parlors they're required to be in attendance while the tattoo is being installed, I guess.
Okay, but you know kids go in there and lie about their age or have a fake driver's license and get them done anyway.
But that tattoo place can get in trouble.
Exactly.
What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do if the kid produces a driver's license? What's the age? 18?
18.
Okay, what if they have a fake driver's license that looks absolutely legit? And I know because two of my kids had them, and one of my sons I found out, and I was really surprised when I found out, hey, he's an Oklahoma resident. How did this happen? One of my sons had an Oklahoma driver's license, and it looked absolutely legit. How's the tattoo parlor supposed to know that's not a real ID?
And I'm on the Cardinal Ritter website, where they have highlights and box scores of all their games, and guess which game is missing?
Yeah, no kidding.
Every game's on there except for the game where they played in Chicago.
Oh.
I guess they thought, well, you know, we're going to go to Chicago. Nobody in St. Louis will know we played this guy, and Chicago people certainly aren't going to, you know that this isn't Bill Jackson. So they thought they could get away with it. But you can't commit a crime these days, Frank. You say it yourself. There's too many video cameras to commit a crime these days. It's almost impossible to commit a crime these days because you're going to get caught doing it, or you're going to get caught driving to it or away from it.
No, I agree. I would think twice before. Look, every once in a while, like if I get up, sometimes I'll go sit down at the computer and I'll just be like in my underwear, jockey shorts or something. Because I'll wake up and go, oh, shoot, I was supposed to email this guy? I'm not kidding. I wonder if somebody sees me in my underwear or something. I think about that junk. I think about it in a parking garage. I think about it when I go into, I know it's different in a bank or casino because obviously they have cameras everywhere. But I think there are cameras where you least expect there to be cameras. Certainly not bathrooms. That's illegal. So, yeah, if you try to pull something off like this. Well, and he didn't get away with it either.
Right.
If you remember, he went to prison. Yeah, he went to prison.
Yeah.
Tim, was there anything else?
No, I just continue to wake up every day of my life and get surprised. I think there's nothing else that'll surprise me that can happen in the world, and then today proves me wrong. It's just I'm just stunned at the audacity of a school, and not to be all high and mighty, but I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic high school, especially a private Catholic high school. To do this is just beyond. I mean, it's a kind of thing where it is so blatant to put in the minds of these young men that cheating is okay. When this is the kind of coach that if he's found guilty, and you know, you're innocent until their investigation is underway. But if this coach is found guilty, this is the kind of guy that should never be allowed to coach again.
And the other players on the team had to know.
Well, of course, obviously. They did. Yeah.
And they had to be told that this is okay. It's okay. We're gonna. This kid, everybody just shh. You know.
This kid is the leader of this team. There's videos. I was talking to David Solomon about this. There's videos of this kid. You know how these teams, they get together in these circles and they jump up and down and they hoot and they holler and they have like these chants. They kind of have like this pregame ritual. There's a video, and Bill Jackson is the guy on this team that does that, wearing his number 4 in all their games. There's video of him doing this exact same thing, wearing the number 24 jersey before the first game. It's like this kid made no effort to hide what he was doing. It's one thing to be a criminal. It's another thing to be a dumb criminal. And
I love stories like this, though, because it's just a reminder that, you know, there will always be cheaters. There will always be stupid people. And sometimes where you least expect it. So I like it when we're reminded of that. Do you have anything else?
No.
Anybody else, Perk segment?
I do, but if you want to talk to Doc real quick, he has something about tattoos and kids.
I would love to talk to Doc. Let's bring him in here. Doc, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
You were talking about stupid people, so I thought I'd call in because I qualify.
Now, hold on, Doc. Now, don't be so hard on yourself. You're AM and the PM. How stupid could you be? You know who's stupid? People who aren't AM and the PM. Those are the stupid people.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. In Illinois, on the tattoos deal, first off, none of these folks would be considered the cream of the social crop that do tattoos.
Well, hang on. That do tattoos, if we make the statement, anybody who's done tattoos, they're not the cream of the social crop. It's one thing to do a little symbolic small tattoo. It's another thing to do half your face, your whole leg, one arm. That's who you're talking about.
Yeah. I mentioned this before. I lost a son at age 23. And my kids all got little tattoos across, and had his initials, and then the year he born and the year he died.
Now you're talking about the be responsibility of people who don't think ahead or think about the consequences down the road and tattoo their whole neck, half their face, an arm, a leg, to the point that they've just screwed themselves out of lots of positions in life that they're never going to get because of that. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that in Illinois, you have to have, you have to be 18, and even if they're between 18 and 21, you have to have parental consent. And, I believe it was Dan said, that you were supposed to be on site. Well, one of my sons was 16 when he got his. They didn't care. Just as long as the money spent, they didn't care. We weren't even there. They had no problem tattooing whomever, doing whatever.
By the way, it's easy, and it's easy too if you have an older friend. You can walk in there at 16 with a friend of yours who was 35 and say, it's my dad. And what are they going to do? Ask for all his ID and some legitimate birth certificate? No, they're not, because you're right. All these places don't care. They just give me the money.
Yeah, of course, that my 16-year-old, I think he was like 6'2", about 230, 220, 230. So, you know, he kind of looked like he was grown up. But, you know, I am shocked at the number of, attractive young ladies, and I say young ladies, I'm in my 60s, so anything younger than that, who have got that ink all over themselves. And you think, okay, well, you might think that looks fine now. You know, you're 19. When you're 60, it's going to look like hell.
No, forget 60. How about 25? And if somebody did that at 16, 17, 18, and you ask them at 20, do you regret that you did it? And they go, no, they're lying. They're lying.
Yeah. You know, where I grow up, the only two hobbies for young men, and that was racing cars and drinking, and it was out in rural Missouri. not a good combination, but I actually bought beer before I was, before I got my driver's license. Same thing, you know, if you.
Well, that doesn't happen today.
No, not anymore. And I'm glad my kids never did that, because I'm sure they none
Doc,
of them.
Hey, Doc, can you, Doc, can you remind us again, how'd you lose your son at 23?
He died of cancer.
Okay.
He had, it's called large cell Burkitt's, lymphoma. They gave him 3 to 6 weeks to live when they diagnosed it. He lived 2 days shy of a year. Because he's was 6'5 and 400 pounds when he diagnosed it, and he just wasn't going. Now he lost a lot of weight in that interim, but he was such a healthy guy. And the people at Siteman Cancer Center are, the guy who empties the trash cans there is smarter than I am. They're just a magnificent bunch of people. I know a number of folks who, guys who lost their sons, and I had several of them tell me that their kids died in automobile accidents, and they thought that was, you know, we knew it was going to take his life.
Right.
It just took him a year to die, and they said that would, they thought that was harder than them just, you know, they're just passing.
Going quickly.
Yeah, because
I got to tell you something. I've never, and man, I hope I never do. I've never had to go through that, but I think about it because I've had people around me who've lost kids, and it happened in my extended family just 2 weeks ago. A 4-year-old girl in just a freak accident, a farm accident, and I always wonder what the answer to this question is. Would you prefer to get a phone call that your child is gone and it was instant and quick? Or would you prefer to be put on notice that your child has a month, a year, or six? And I think the answer to that lies in, and I'll ask you the question, was your son in a lot of excruciating pain for a long time?
Yes.
I prefer the instantaneous, and I don't know about you, but I prefer that kid not have to go through that.
If you had known Graham, and actually he's the one that turned me on to listen to your show.
Okay, you're the drive-in guy. I remember now.
Yeah.
We met. Right. Okay. Yeah.
He when they told us that it was going to take his life, they would do what they could, but it was going to take his life. He looked at me and he said, "Well, this is kind of poopy." That was the extent of his complaining. The day he died, he told my mom that he was ready to go, but he was so worried about us. Because he knew where he was going, worried about us. That's the kind of kid, and so we got the experience. A friend of mine my best friend is a Baptist minister, and he, you know, I asked him, you know, we prayed and prayed and prayed for his life to be spared, and the prayers weren't answered. And he said, yes, they were. God's plan initially was to take him in 3 to 6 weeks. He gave you a year. And that's the way we look at it. And I'm almost in tears now, and it's been, 11 and a half years.
No, it'll never. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know, not having gone through it. It'll never go away. Time makes it a little easier, but it'll never go away. And the only time it'll end is when you're no longer here and you're back together again. That's when it ends.
A fellow who, when Graham died, his son had been gone for 18 years, and he told me, don't ever let anybody tell you you'll get over it.
I would never say something that stupid to somebody who lost someone.
Yeah.
Oh, eventually it'll be fine. You'll get over it. No, not true.
Yeah. And I will call you on, March the 7th, which is his birthday. And we'll say happy birthday to him.
You bet. You're welcome to do that. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
I'll tell you the other thing that fascinates me, and I had a story 2 weeks ago, and I didn't get around to it, and I don't even know if I hung on to it. But I could not stop reading this this story that I found. And I've read these stories before, these near-death experiences where people flatline and they're gone for like half an hour, and then they come back and they tell the doctors and the nurses what happened when they were out. And this story from a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you get chills reading this. Basically, this guy had died, and the article is written by the surgeon. Oh, I know where I found it. I found it was a link to another story I was reading online. It linked me to this story. The article was written by a surgeon who was an atheist, and he said what changed my mind was a patient that he lost. He said, we lost this patient in surgery, and the time of death, you know, you've seen it on the other, time of death, 6:04 p.m., and then he said they had left the room, they covered the body, the sheet was over the guy's head, several minutes had gone by, and then they heard, somehow or other, something indicated to somebody, I don't know if there was movement, I don't remember what it was, but they rushed back in, and the guy lives, and when he finally is coherent and completely awake, he proceeds to tell this surgeon word for word everything he heard them say while he was supposedly dead. He described the clothing of the people who came in and out of the room. He told them exactly how many people were around him when they pulled the sheet over. And this doctor said he was stunned. He said, because the only way, there's no explanation for how this dead guy could know all this except for the fact that he wasn't really dead. He was in that. And here's another common, something that's common among all these people who have these near-death experiences is that they, and the guy on the table said this. He said, about the time I heard them pronounce me dead, he all of a sudden was looking down on himself. He said, it's as if I'm floating up above and I'm on the ceiling and I could see every single thing going on and hear everybody's voice. Like I'm looking down from the ceiling. And I've read, there are a couple of books out, and I've read dozens and dozens of accounts of people who said that exact same thing. And then there's that voice or entity that says, not yet, not yet, and they send them back. That stuff fascinates me. And I don't care what you believe or if you believe anything or nothing. That kind of tells me maybe it's not really completely over just because the lights go out. So, Doc, I appreciate your call. Can we talk to Jack real quick?
Yep.
Jack, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Very good, Frank. AM in the PM.
Thank you, Jack.
Hey, I had a little light comment about Catholic schools, but I don't know if I could follow Doc. I was choking up trying to keep my composure listening. He was so
Doc's is a great story.
That is a great story. But real quick, I grew up in the mid-70s in the Metro East and played football for a small little country school. You know, we played some of the better teams. We weren't very good, but first time we got on in pads was our freshman year in high school. So we're ready to play our first parochial team, a Catholic team, and the coaches told us they're gonna be the meanest, dirtiest, filthiest players you've ever played. And we kind of looked at each other like, well, what's he talking about? And there was three big Catholic schools back then in Illinois, just on the east side, and big sports powerhouses. But anyway, we got to the first game with this team. Sorry. And
gotcha.
And sure enough, in every pile, they called your mom names you'd never heard before. They would poke you in the eyes. It was exactly like they described. And then we played another team later that year, another prominent Catholic school, and they told us the same thing, and it was the exact same thing. So it was amazing that really they warned us, and it happened exactly like they said. So.
Well, and you know their coach was aware of it and was okay with it.
Yeah.
And they get in your head when you hear some guy go, yeah, I slept with your mom last night. Yeah. Me, all that does is fire you up so you can kick their butts. I would think that would fuel you.
It did fuel us, but we weren't any good, so we couldn't do anything about it.
But, well, you're no good.
It was amazing that you grow up thinking that everything is so pristine and proper, and then you get in these games down in the trenches, and it is the most filthy, dirty, crap, crotch hitting, poking your eye, name calling thing you've ever seen. So just wanted to let you give that little story. So
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jack.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye. All right. Dan, that was your segment. Were you finished?
I was. No, I didn't even start. I just gave stuff. Turned it over to Doc there for a second.
It's called, Dan, it's called being selfless and unselfish. You turned your time over to someone else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's our Dan. The Dan we know.
A couple of things. One, a friend of mine called today, and he said that he got a scam call from someone that said that they were from 590. They said 590 radio station and said that they were going to play a commercial for them, and they were trying to get them to buy advertising, and the guy sounded kind of Indian, and he said I want to play a commercial for you, and you just insert your name of your business right here. And so he did, and Ron tells me that this commercial was just god awful and just sounded horrible. So he hung up. So he didn't know what the full scam was. He just hung up after a little while. So if you receive a call from someone...
Hold on. First of all, do we know it was a scam? I mean, we don't know what the people downstairs do here. Do they have...
There's an Indian guy here on the sales team.
No, we don't have an Indian guy.
Well, hang on a minute.
You didn't meet the new sales guy, Sumit?
Well, hold on.
And his brother, Raj?
It could have been the owner. Because sometimes, and here's how you know it's the owner. Yeah. If the Indian says something like, "Well, good afternoon, bud. I would like to..." He calls everybody bud.
Good afternoon, bud.
Yes, I would love a calling from private name, bud. What did I do? No, I don't believe that was... wouldn't you love to know,
I know
who it was and why they picked us to do that with? It's got to be a competitor who, I don't know, for whatever reason, thinks that it's going to harm us.
Who knows?
That's a new one. And why the Indian voice?
I don't know. Well, maybe it was
probably from India.
Yeah, they're probably from India. And they may get on and they do a little research and find out, oh, there's a radio station 590, there's this, there's that.
Or an Indian voice was to disguise the voice of the sales manager from the place we came from. That could have been it, too.
Yeah, it could be.
Wouldn't put it anything else.
It could be that we're being sold to an Indian owner and he wants to turn us into an Indian music radio station.
Oh, I hope so. That's some good music. That could be good music.
Change the colors to KIND.
I like it already. Limey, is there any, only a minute and a half, is there any Indian music on YouTube? If you just typed in, like, Indian music, like,
Welcome to KIND, the Snake Charmer.
No, you can't, say it like that. No, you can't say it like that.
Why not? There goes the race.
Welcome to KIND 590, the Snake Charmer. Welcome. And today our guest is a real snake charmer. He has a basket with him, and he has
this coconuts. Song was huge in my high school. We have a giant Indian population.
This?
Yeah. The DJ, Punjabi MC, stole the tune from Knight Rider.
I can hear it now. I hear the new station. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to 590. We're counting down the hits. This is number 3 on the charts today. It's from Moshabi Kalabi, and it's called... Please Pet My Cobra.
Please Pet My Cobra.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if that was the case, and they say, okay, Frank, we're going to let you keep your show on the air, but you all have to talk with an Indian accent.
I'm good. You know what? I'm in. I'm ready. I think we can do it. I don't know how long.
The news, weather, and sports is coming to your way courtesy of the Surf and Sirloin.
There is no traffic today.
So far, we have all been able to do it, except I have not heard Limey. Limey, I have not heard your Indian accent. Let me hear it.
You can't, because you got 10 seconds. You got to wrap
well,
it up.
Well, that's a cop. That's called a cop out. That's called a cop out. Let me tell you something. When we come back, Limey, you are going to do your Indian voice if you want to keep working for the new ownership, okay? We want to hear it. And as long as I'm doing it, I will just keep doing it. Okay, so here's the deal. After the news, Dr. Doug Pornikoff will be with us. He's the veterinarian. He's the official veterinarian at Large Morning Show in the afternoon on KIND 590. So he will be here. We will get the phone numbers. If you have a pet or you're thinking about buying a pet, this is the place you want to be. So stay where you are because it is 4 o'clock at 590 KIND.
again, everybody. It's Bob Ramsey, and you're listening to KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and KFNS.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump insists there will be no open borders under his watch. At the White House today, Trump said illegal immigrants are being promptly returned home.
We're moving the MS-13 gang members out literally by the thousands. They're getting out. We're dropping them out of our country, and they can't come back.